Hey everyone, and welcome back. We're diving deep today into the Great Depression. And we'll be looking at it through this lens of think and act locally, exploring, you know, how understanding this historical event can like empower us to build stronger and more resilient communities today. Our main source. Well, it's Milton Friedman's really insightful documentary, Free to Choose.
You know, we often associate the Great Depression with that stock market crash of 1929.
Yeah, for sure.
But Friedman, he argues that the real trouble started brewing months earlier.
Oh, really?
Not on Wall Street, but with bank failures in the South and Midwest.
Huh. That's surprising. I always thought that the stock market crash was like the main event. So how could these smaller, like, local bank failures contribute to, you know, such a widespread economic crisis?
Well, it's like a domino effect, these initial failures ultimately led to the collapse of a major institution, the Bank of the United States, in New York City.
Wow.
And this triggered a nationwide panic, and suddenly everyone was worried about their money. And this brings us to an important player in this story, the Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve, I'm not sure. I'm familiar with that.
Think of it as the central bank of the United States. It's responsible for managing the money supply and ensuring the stability of the financial system.
Got it.
And in 1929, they had the power to intervene and prevent the situation from spiraling out of control.
So what happened? Did they step in to save the day?
Unfortunately, no. Friedman, he highlights how the Federal Reserve, they failed to act effectively. And this inaction had devastating consequences for the entire nation.
Oh, wow. That's a sobering thought. It seems like they missed a crucial opportunity to, like, prevent the crisis from escalating.
Exactly. And to illustrate this point, Friedman contrasts the Federal Reserve's inaction with a compelling story of local action.
Oh, interesting.
He tells us about George Eccles, a small-town banker in Salt Lake City, who faced a similar bank run.
So what did Eccles do differently?
He took proactive steps.
Okay.
He calmly addressed his depositors.
Uh-huh.
Reassured them about the bank's solvency.
Yeah.
And managed cash flow strategically.
So his bank survived.
His bank survived, proving that even during a national crisis, local action can make a real difference.
That's incredible. It shows that we don't always have to wait for national institutions to solve our problems. Sometimes the most effective solutions come from right here in our own communities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this story of George Eccles ties in beautifully with our think and act locally theme.
Yeah, I'm starting to see how these like seemingly distant historical events can have real relevance to our lives today. But what about the actual mechanics of the economic downturn? What caused things to get so bad so quickly?
Well, this is where Friedman gets into some fascinating and perhaps even a bit mind-bending ideas about how money actually works in an economy.
Great.
He challenges the common misconception that banks simply store your money.
Wait, what? That's not how banks work.
He explains that through a process called fractional reserve banking, banks actually create and destroy money.
Banks create money? That sounds a bit like magic.
It might sound strange, but it's how our financial system operates.
Okay.
Think of it like this. You deposit $100 in a bank.
Uh-huh.
The bank is required to keep a portion of that deposit in reserve, but they can lend out the rest.
Right.
Say $90.
Okay.
That $90 ends up in another account.
Yeah.
And that bank can then lend out a portion of that.
Right.
And so on.
And so on.
This process effectively multiplies the initial $100, increasing the money supply.
Okay. I'm starting to get it. So it's like a chain reaction of lending and relending.
Exactly.
That expands the amount of money circulating in the economy.
And this is why bank failures can have such a devastating impact.
Okay.
When banks fail, the opposite happens.
Okay.
Loans aren't being made.
Right.
Money isn't circulating as freely.
Oh.
And the money supply shrinks.
So it's not just about people losing their savings when a bank collapses. It's about the entire community losing access to credit, which can, like, cripple businesses and stifle economic growth.
And here's where the Federal Reserve's role becomes even more crucial.
Okay.
They could have countered this shrinking money supply by increasing their own lending, essentially injecting more money into the system.
So by failing to act, they essentially made the situation worse.
Unfortunately, yes. And this brings us back to the importance of local action. We can't always rely on national institutions to solve our economic problems.
It seems like understanding how money works and the role of local banks
yeah.
is essential for building a more resilient local economy.
Absolutely. When we support local banks
yeah.
and understand their role in our community,
uh-huh.
we're taking a proactive step towards a stronger and more stable economic future.
This is all very thought-provoking. We're starting to see how events from the Great Depression, like bank failures and the Federal Reserve's inaction, can offer valuable lessons for building stronger communities today. We've also seen how local action can make a difference, even in the face of nationwide challenges.
And this is just the beginning.
Okay.
We'll be back after a short break. To delve deeper into the complexities of government intervention and explore how those debates from the Great Depression are still relevant to our lives today.
Welcome back. I'm still thinking about George Eccles and how he managed to keep his bank afloat during the Depression. It makes me wonder if there are similar stories of local resilience right here in our own community.
Hmm.
You know, maybe stories of businesses or individuals who found creative ways to weather that economic storm.
That's a great question. And it's a fantastic example of how we can apply these historical lessons to our own lives, exploring local archives, you know, historical societies, or even talking to older residents
yeah.
could reveal inspiring stories of resilience from our own community's past. Who knows, we might find a hidden gem of wisdom
yeah.
right under our noses.
I love that idea. It's like a treasure hunt for local economic knowledge.
Right.
Now, going back to Friedman's documentary,
mm.
he seemed pretty skeptical about government intervention in the economy.
Yeah.
He seemed to favor a more hands-off approach.
Yes. Friedman was a strong advocate for free markets. He believed that government attempts to control or fine-tune the economy often backfired,
okay.
creating more problems than they solved.
Interesting.
He often pointed to the Federal Reserve's inaction
right.
during the Great Depression right. as a prime example of how government intervention could actually worsen
yeah.
an economic crisis.
But wouldn't you say there have been times when government intervention was absolutely crucial? I mean, think about the Great Depression itself. Wasn't government action needed to help pull the country out of that crisis?
Absolutely. Even Friedman acknowledged that there are certain roles government must play,
uh-huh.
such as maintaining a stable monetary system,
hmm.
enforcing contracts,
right.
and protecting property rights.
Okay.
The heart of the debate lies in finding the right balance,
yeah.
determining the optimal level of intervention that fosters a healthy and resilient economy
uh-huh.
without stifling individual initiative.
So it sounds like it's not a black and white issue.
Right.
It's more about finding that sweet spot
yeah.
where government action
yeah.
and free market principles can work together effectively.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting, especially when we apply this thinking to our own community. We can't just blindly accept national economic policies without carefully considering their impact at the local level.
This brings us back to our think and act locally theme.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we put this into practice? What can we as individuals and community members actually do to make a difference?
It begins with asking critical questions.
Okay.
How are national economic policies impacting our local businesses, our job market, our housing costs? Are there specific regulations hindering local entrepreneurship? Are there opportunities to advocate for policies that better support our community's unique economic needs?
So step one is to become informed citizens.
Right.
Understanding the forces at play.
Yes.
Both locally and nationally.
Yeah.
That shape our economic landscape.
Exactly. Knowledge is power. And once we're armed with that knowledge, we can move from awareness to action. This could involve getting involved with local business associations, attending city council meetings,
right.
contacting our elected representatives,
right.
or supporting organizations working to promote economic development within our community.
It's about taking ownership, becoming active participants
right.
in shaping our economic future rather than remaining passive observers.
Precisely. And it's about understanding that even small actions can have a ripple effect.
Right.
When we choose to support local businesses, we're not just making a purchase,
right.
we're investing
yeah.
in our community's well-being.
I see.
When we raise our voices to advocate for policies that support small businesses and entrepreneurs, we're contributing to a more vibrant and resilient local economy.
This reminds me of something Friedman said in his documentary.
Yeah.
He emphasized the importance of creating systems
mm-hmm.
that don't rely on having the right person in charge.
Yeah.
He believed in establishing a framework
right.
that fosters economic stability and prosperity, regardless of who holds political office.
That's a powerful concept. It's about building systems and institutions that empower individuals and communities,
yeah.
nurturing innovation, and creating opportunities for everyone to thrive.
So it's not just about fixing problems.
Right.
It's about proactively creating a more resilient and equitable
Absolutely.
Economic ecosystem.
Exactly. And achieving that requires a shift. In our mindset,
okay.
we need to move away from a scarcity mentality where
right.
we're constantly competing for a limited pie.
Yeah.
And embrace an abundance mindset,
yeah.
believing there are enough opportunities for everyone to succeed.
This brings us to that final thought-provoking question you mentioned earlier. What's that lingering question we should be contemplating as we wrap up our deep dive?
If a single bank failure can trigger a national economic crisis,
right.
as we witnessed in 1929, what steps can we take at the local level to ensure the strength and resilience of our community's financial institutions? What role can we play in creating a more robust and equitable financial system that serves the needs of everyone in our community?
Wow, that's a powerful question. It's a call to action.
Yes.
A reminder that we're not powerless. In the face of economic forces,
right.
we can make a difference, starting right here in our own community.
That's the beauty of studying history. It's
yeah.
not just about learning from the past.
Yeah.
It's about using those lessons to build a better future.
Well said. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling inspired.
Me too.
This deep dive has given me a whole new perspective on the Great Depression, the role of government, and the power of local action.
It's been a journey of discovery. And we hope you, our listeners, feel empowered to continue exploring these ideas.
Right.
To think critically.
Yeah.
And to actively engage in building a more resilient and thriving local economy.
That wraps up our deep dive into the Great Depression. Until next time, keep exploring.
Keep asking questions.
And keep diving deep. Welcome back to our final segment on the Great Depression. And you know what it can teach us about building stronger local economies? We've been unpacking a lot of complex ideas.
Yeah.
And it seems like
yeah,
there's no easy answer when it comes to the role of government in the economy.
That's true. It's a nuanced conversation.
Yeah.
With strong opinions on both sides. We've discussed how Friedman cautioned against excessive government intervention, arguing that it can sometimes lead to unforeseen consequences and even like exacerbate economic problems.
But wouldn't you say there have been times when government intervention was absolutely crucial? I mean, think about the Great Depression itself. Wasn't government action needed to help pull the country out of that crisis?
Absolutely. Even Friedman acknowledged that there are certain roles
mm-hmm.
government must play, like maintaining a stable monetary system, enforcing contracts,
right.
and protecting property rights.
Okay.
The heart of the debate
yeah.
lies in finding the right balance,
yeah.
determining, you know, the optimal level of intervention. That fosters a healthy and resilient economy without stifling individual initiative.
It sounds like it's not a black and white issue.
Right.
It's more about finding that sweet spot.
Right.
Where government action and free market principles
mm.
can work together effectively.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting, especially when we apply this thinking to our own community. We can't just blindly accept national economic policies
yeah.
without, you know, carefully considering their impact at the local level.
This brings us back to our think and act locally theme.
Mm.
But how do we put this into practice? What can we as individuals and community members actually do to make a difference?
It begins with asking critical questions. How are national economic policies impacting our local businesses, our job market, our housing costs? Are there specific regulations hindering local entrepreneurship? Are there opportunities to advocate for policies that better support our communities' unique economic needs?
So step one is to become informed citizens, understanding the forces at play, both mm-hmm. locally and nationally, that shape our economic landscape.
Exactly. Knowledge is power. And once we're armed with that knowledge,
uh-huh.
we can move from awareness to action. This could involve getting involved with local business associations, attending city council meetings, contacting our elected representatives, or supporting organizations working to promote economic development within our community.
It's about taking ownership.
Yeah.
Becoming active participants.
Yeah.
In shaping our economic future, rather than remaining passive observers.
Precisely. And it's about understanding that even small actions can have a ripple effect. When we choose to support local businesses, we're not just making a purchase. We're investing in our community's well-being. When we raise our voices to advocate for policies that support small businesses and entrepreneurs, we're contributing to a more vibrant and resilient local economy.
This reminds me of something Friedman said in his documentary. He emphasized the importance of creating systems that don't rely on having the right person in charge.
Right.
He believed in establishing a framework that fosters economic stability and prosperity, regardless of who holds political office.
That's a powerful concept. It's about building systems and institutions that empower individuals and communities, nurturing innovation and creating opportunities for everyone to thrive.
So it's not just about fixing problems. It's about proactively creating a more resilient and equitable economic ecosystem.
Exactly. And achieving that requires a shift in our mindset. We need to move away from a scarcity mentality where we're constantly competing for a limited pie and embrace an abundance mindset, believing there are enough opportunities for everyone to succeed.
This brings us to that final thought-provoking question you mentioned earlier. What is that lingering question we should be contemplating as we wrap up our deep dive?
If a single bank failure can trigger a national economic crisis, like we saw in 1929, what steps can we take at the local level to ensure the strength and resilience of our community's financial institutions? What role can we play in creating a more robust and equitable financial system that serves the needs of everyone in our community?
Wow, that's a powerful question. It's a call to action, a reminder that we're not powerless in the face of economic forces. We can make a difference starting right here in our own community.
And that's the beauty of studying history. It's not just about learning from the past. It's about using those lessons to build a bright future.
Well said. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling inspired.
Me too.
This deep dive has given me a whole new perspective on the Great Depression, the role of government, and the power of local action.
It's been a journey of discovery. And we hope you, our listeners, feel empowered to continue exploring these ideas, to think critically, and to actively engage in building a more resilient and thriving local economy.
That wraps up our deep dive into the Great Depression. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.